Okay, let's see if we can go a little further here. And you know, the story of Amalek is in Shmos Parshas Peshalach, and the details of the story, which is our mitzvah, is in Devar, so Mishnah Torah, repetition. So there's just let me say that again. The story of Amalek, of what they did wrong, is in Shmos. That's where the problem exists. The mitzvah to erase the memory of Amalek is in Devarim, Parshas Kiseiseh. So one's in Bishalach, one's in Devarim, where this is what happened. And there in Devarim, where it tells us the mitzvah, gives us some reasons for the mitzvah, so it tells us a little bit more detail about their attitude problem, right? But the story's in Bishalach. So let's just learn it a little bit and see what happens here. It says... I don't want to take a chumash. Maybe it'd be better to. Yeah. Why not do this right?
Taking one, pass it down.
Thank you.
Okay, this is in Sefer Shmos, Parshas Bishalach, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Ches. Everyone have it? Perek Yud Zayin in Shmos, Pasuk Ches. The Jews had just come out of Egypt. The story so far. The Jews had just come out of Egypt. They were introduced to the idea of the Mon. And they were introduced to the clouds, a lot of different clouds in the Midbar, a lot of different clouds. And one of the purposes of the clouds, it was that it protected us from the elements and even from the enemy. So there's one of these things that the clouds did and went around. Actually, it was like actually a cloud around the Jewish people. I think I spoke last week about the fact how fascinating it is that whenever God wants to present himself to us, he does so in a cloud. The opposite of clarity.
Wow.
You would think that it would be with sunshine, you know, if you'd want to draw a picture of God,
God forbid, you
would draw him as sunshine, as a ray of sunshine, not as a cloud.
Fire by day and cloud at night.
What?
Fire by day and cloud at night.
Yeah. But like even Har Sinai, so there was a cloud on Har Sinai, and then when Moshe went to get the Torah, says that he went from the cloud, and he went into the Arafel. So Rashi says the Arafel is the deepest, the thickest part of the cloud. So the place where you get the most clarity is in the thickest part of the cloud, the blackest part of the cloud.
Wow.
What do you say about that, Yehudale? What's the type?
That you have to get rid of all your conventional senses to sense Hashem.
Wow.
Isn't it that
that's very nice. Wow.
You said it better than I was going to say. I don't know. Nothing to add to that. Yeah.
Moshe's face was radiating from the Shekhinah.
The what?
Moshe's face was radiating from the Shekhinah. Was he also an idea of or light with
him? Light, but where did he get it? How do you know that the Shekhinah was descended on the Ol Moed? Vayered Ha'anon. Yeah, so from this Anon, he became radiated.
And also, there's an Anon of fire afterwards.
Which
also.
Is, what?
Some reason I have a better understanding of the Anon of the cloud, but the Amud of Aish is a little harder to understand.
Amud of Aish is a different sugya. We got to work with that. But what's clear is that the presence of Hashem is felt only in a cloud, and the deeper the cloud, the more the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you think it means? You know, like if a person would feel like, wow, I'm getting some type of a spiritual revelation today. You know, I'm sure we all feel this once in a while. So we would define it as light. We would define it as, you know, like light. But the could be that that's a small fry spiritual revelation. The real spiritual revelation will come dafka if everything is in the darkest part of the cloud.
Does
he talk about this?
Yeah, he talks about it. It says it's like a mechitza. And the closer the mechitza comes to us, the closer we reach Hashem. And see that anytime there are clouds,
it's a different idea. But you know, I'm not talking about a mechitza. You see, mechitza is something outside the person. Between me and you, there's a mechitza. But we're talking about betoch, a nichnas moshe l'toicha arofel. Moshe walked into the darkest part of the cloud, into the sun of the cloud. Haziness. What do you say, Rebel? You look like very thinking about something? What do you think? I mean, no, I mean, just what's the chat? Certain protection in the cloud. So.
Are there alternative admissions to Anun? Or what are the words for cloud?
Anun?
That's it?
Arafel? I think the Rashi quotes the Gemara that says that there's five levels of thickness of cloud. One is thicker than the other. The darkest one is Harafel, and that's where Hashem gave Moshe the Torah. So he was, Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. He was in this Harafel. He was like, he was totally surrounded with dark for 40 days and 40 nights. Totally surrounded with this completely dark physical. Cloud, fog. I think we could have a concept that probably they didn't even have in earlier generations because we've all been on airplanes, you know, mm-hmm. And you go through the cloud, and if it's a rain cloud, you know, you go through and it's all of a sudden, you know, you're in the clouds. You say, let's get out of the clouds. You get up over the clouds. Okay, it's nice and shiny, but nice and bright. And under the clouds could be okay, but in the clouds is the last place you'd want to find some clarity. But, Unless I'm just thinking that, you know, like, maybe this is what you meant, Yehuda Levi, maybe this is something different, I'm not sure. But maybe that, you know, we always look for clarity to come from outside of us. Put some light on the subject. But we don't think about clarity in terms of something which emanates from within. This way. Not something from the outside, like a ray of light which is like shining on you. And yeah, do you ever get a ticket on the thruway at night?
No, thank God.
The guy comes with this gigantic light. I don't know why they do this and shines it in your face. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Sorry, officer. Like, what is that? Like, you know, but it's anything. You know, it's interesting that light is anything but clarity. He does it to confuse
yeah.
you. What?
He's trying, in case you have a weapon, then you don't.
But they blind you. They specifically,
right, you don't know where they're coming
specifically
from.
Blind you. Yeah. Yeah. They have like a whole way of standing like
right.
to the side,
exactly.
and with this light in your eye, it's like really. But they literally shine right in your eye. So maybe there's another concept of. Let's just think about this for a minute. Maybe there's another concept of clarity, which is when dafka, the lights are off. And dafka, like there's no clarity at all coming from the outside. So what has to happen is that I have to find the clarity within. So maybe when HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a certain blitz of light for us, an isarusa, so maybe that what happens is that it's that we start to shine. Not it gets shined on us, but that we start to shine. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu shined. On Har Sinai, and the way you shine the most is when there's no other light. You know, it's almost like if you want to appreciate a candle, you shut off the lights.
Right.
Even the halacha, you know, if you want to appreciate a candle, you shut off the lights. It makes the candle glow. Otherwise, tira b'yamama mayahanale. You don't need any candles in the middle of the day. Somebody's walking with a candle in the middle of the day. It doesn't make any sense. So the whole point of the Torah is having the Sarius from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to find that which was within us, like this transmitter within us, the neshama within us, make that shine. It's very interesting that if you look through history, that most of the greatest gedolim. I'm talking about like really great, you know, Hillel, Vilna Gaon, Avraham Avinu, you know, the really great, great people, the people that we really want to emulate. They all came forward in a time of darkness. You know, there was not any, when everything's cool, like there's very little brightness that comes out of people, but in the darkest places, so sometimes like, you know, there's a certain aura which emanates from a person. I mean, that's like the real greatness, the real neshama of a person, the real like sort of heroic Torah, you know, that comes out. Anyway, interesting.
Vilna Gaon
didn't have a meal for 15 or 20 years. didn't have, was so impoverished. The poverty in Vilna, they say, was beyond comprehension. Vilna was in the time of the Roman decrees and Hordus. Vilna doesn't eat because having been fasted, he was a tzaddik. The Shira described a story that the Shamus was stealing the money from him. You know, the Shamus was to give him a little bit of money every single day to buy food from the Gehila he would raise, and he pocketed it. The Vilna Gaon Shamus. The Vilna Gaon knew about it the whole time. And Vilna Gaon, go fool the Vilna Gaon. He knew about it the whole time. At the end of his life, he says, "I'm Eichel of Shamus." You know, for 22 years, he didn't eat. That was his food. He didn't want to get him in trouble. Vayavayamalek. Sometimes you feel so small next to these people. Huh? But it was always in a cloud. Vayavayamalek. Okay. So we come out of Egypt, and Amalek comes. Vayilachem im Yisrael b'Rephidim, and it starts a war with the Jewish people in Rephidim. This is the story of Amalek. They were in a place called Rephidim. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response to the war. In other words, so let's just picture this for a second. Visualize this. What did a war look like in those days? You know, we've all been to the movies. So what happens is that the Jews are at this point a nomadic group, walking the desert, million or so people, maybe more, 2 million people. You know, walking in camps, coming out of Egypt, tired. You know, just went through the whole Egyptian experience. Certainly were not, full of self-esteem or war strategies or anything like that. They're supposed to have to win a war. And they're walking. And then comes Amalek, that was a settled tribe in the desert, one of the desert nations, and comes with horses and with weapons and with armor and comes behind the Jewish people, you know, so... Just imagine this scene, you know, and here we are. You know, the Jews said already before, "Hamigliyin kvarim b'mitzrayim," say lack of graves in Egypt. Which what do we need this for? Not about Amalek, just about the whole condition. So here Amalek comes. So they needed a quick strategy. So Moshe says to Yeshua, says the mission puzzle test. Vayomer Moshe al Yeshua. So Moshe said to Yeshua, "Bechar lanu anoshim, let's choose some very very special people." But say he lochem b'Amalek. In other words, this is not going to be a war between the Jewish people and Amalek. This is going to be a war between some chosen people. How many? 5, 10, a couple hundred. It's like the Maccabees. You know, like there's going to be a chosen war between B'char lanu anoshim. Let's choose out some very special people. But say he lochem b'Amalek and go out. And do Melchama b'Amalek. So Rashi says, say, what's Rashi say? Say Hilachim b'Amalek. Say Min Ha'anan. Go out from the cloud. So it's interesting. So the whole Jewish people were in this cloud. And what Moshe said to Yahushua was, choose a few people that are going to put their lives in their hands. And they're going to walk out of this cloud, the protective cloud, and they're going to do war with Amalek. And he said, Machar tomorrow, in other words, when the war happens, Anochi Nitzav Arosh HaGiva, this is what we're going to do, Moshe said, I'm going to go up and there was a mountaintop there. I'm going to go and I'm going to stand on top of the mountain. Umato Helekim B'Yadi. And I'm going to take the Hashem stick with me. So Rashi says here, out of order, Char lanu anoshim. You see, the Rashi comes later. Char lanu anoshim, choose some people. Giborim v'yirechet. Find some people that are strong. We don't know strong in what. V'yirechet. And people that have yiras Hashem. Shitei schusan misayatam, so their schusim will be able to win them this war. They're going out of the cloud. Dover acher, says Rashi, b'char lanu anoshim, choose some special people. We know whenever it says anoshim in Moshe Rabbeinu's vocabulary, it's talking about great people. B'char lanu anoshim, shiyodim levatok shofim. Apparently Amalek was an expert in black magic. And they were going to use that to fight the Jews. They realized that there is a spiritual aspect to the Jewish people, so they figured they can deal with that with Kishuv. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, let's not even take out Giborim, according to this opinion in Rashi. Let's not even take strong people. Let's take people that know, Kabbalists, that know how to get rid of the Kishuv aspect on it. Lefisha Bnei Amalek Mechashim Hayu. Everybody knows that the Bnei Amalek were Kishuv people. So what kind of war, what kind of a crazy war was this?
I know, it's like they stop in front of each other and they start doing like whole thing.
Picture this. And Moshe says, I'm going up with my stick. Okay, Moshe. But Yas Yoshua, so Yoshua did kasher Amar lo Moshe, just exactly like Moshe said, Lilachim ba Amalek, to make a war with Amalek. And Moshe, he took with him Aaron, Bechur, Olu Rosh Hagiva. All three of them, they went up with Moshe. Rashi says, Mikan l'tainish shetzrichen shloisha l'avur l'ifnei ha'teva. Moshe went to Davin. When you Davin and there's a tainis and there's a big tzarek, there should be three people up on the Yomud there. Shibatainis ha'yushurim, because they were fasting. Hur was b'noshel Miriam haya. Hur was the son of Miriam. B'noshel Miriam. Haya, the Kalev Bala, right? Whose husband was Kalev? Mary, obviously. So Miriam married Kalev, the Kalev Bala. Yes, Miriam married Kalev, and they had Hur. You got this Rashi here? So anyways, they want. So does Rashi come from now?
Anyways, I don't order this Rashi. Probably him.
Very interesting, by the way, when you daven, you're yoreid lifnei ateva. You usually have to go down. Yoreid lifnei ateva, so daven from a low place. Loishes palo adam, loishes palo shliach tzibur b'makom kavoa. You're not supposed to go up on a stage.
It's
also
to daven up top.
Right. So he went up to daven.
To reform
him. Yeah. What's up there? Okay. V'hayakasha yorim Moshe yadoi v'gavar Yisrael. Moshe picked up his hands and Gavar Yisrael, again, it doesn't mean the Klal Yisrael. It doesn't mean the few people that went out to fight. And most of the Klal Yisrael was in the cloud. The Ramban says here, if you look, and I'm going to right now, that the most of the Klal Yisrael would not have been able to tolerate this war.
Wow.
This was not...
Easy
so, the people, Sakasha, Yaniach Yadai, I think it's a misnomer that everybody has, that all of the Jewish people were fighting with Amalek. No, most of the Jewish people were in the cloud. Kasha Yorim Moshe Yadai V'Gavar Yisrael. Kasha Yaniach Yadai V'Gavar Amalek. Moshe Rabbeinu would pick up his hand, and Klal Yisrael would be Matzliach, and when he would put his hand down, Amalek would be Matzliach. V'Dei Moshe Kvedim, Moshe got tired of keeping his hands up there. V'Yikhu Evan, so they took a stone. V'Yisimu Tachtav, and he put it underneath his hand. V'Yeshev Aleha, and he sat on it. Sat on what? So he put the stone where?
Underneath him.
Underneath him, not underneath his hand. So what was that for? So it's a dumb. Was this important information here? Was this important information?
Physiology. If you're sitting down on your hands, don't get that tired.
Is that right?
No.
It's to do with the blood circulation, I guess. Yeah, less effort for the heart. Very strange, you know. I'm sort of a strange piece. By the way, I don't even know the answers. What I want to do is I just want to learn this properly. But Moshe Rabbeinu took a stone. So if you'll read the King James Version, it says that he put a stone under his hand to keep his hand up, which is wrong.
Is it
Amalek? Yehu Evan took a stone.